This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for doing apologetics, for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Dr. Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on two details, both of which come from the Gospel reading for this upcoming 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time Year B, taken from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, which is John's account of the feeding of the 5,000. One detail, Jesus' question to Philip, gives rise to the topic of the historical reliability of John and Luke's Gospels. The second detail, the fragments picked up after the crowd ate, pertains, of course, to the Eucharist. So let's get started, and here's the whole passage. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now, there was a great deal of grass in that place, and so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. Now, as I mentioned, the first detail is Jesus' question to Philip. How are we to buy bread so that these people may eat there in verse 5? And Philip responds in distress, telling Jesus 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. What's important for our purposes is that Jesus asks Philip. Why does Jesus ask Philip? Why Philip? You might think that Jesus would have asked someone a little more important, like Peter, James, or John, rather than an apostle whose name is always listed among the second tier of apostles in Scripture. Matthew 10, 2 through 4, Mark 3, 13 through 19, Luke 6, 12 through 16, and Acts 1, 13 through 14. We find a clue to answering this question at the beginning of Luke's account of the same miracle in chapter 9. Luke tells us that Jesus took the apostles and, quote, "withdrew apart to a city called Bethsaida," close quote, there in verse 10. This is important because according to John 1:43, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Being from Bethsaida, Philip would have had current local knowledge of where to buy bread. Thus, we have a plausible explanation for why Jesus asks Philip. Luke provides a piece of information that John lacks, but notice it's in an indirect way that doesn't seem to be planned. And hence, this is what some scholars call an undesigned coincidence. Now, someone may object, "Well, of course, John 1:43 tells us that Philip was from Bethsaida, but he also says that Andrew and Peter were from there as well. So why didn't Jesus ask Peter or Andrew? They would have had the same local knowledge, right?" Well, this would be true only on the assumption that they were residents there at the time of the miracle. But we have evidence that they weren't. They were residents in Capernaum. In Mark 1:21, we read about how Jesus, along with Simon, Andrew, James, and John, quote, went into Capernaum and immediately on the Sabbath entered a synagogue and taught, close quote. Then in verse 29 of Mark 1, Mark tells us, and immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Peter and Andrew, therefore, although originally from Bethsaida, lived in Capernaum during the time of Jesus' ministry. As such, they would not have had the current local knowledge of Bethsaida needed to know where to buy bread. But Philip did. Now, you're probably asking the question, well, why is this so important? Well, it supports the historical reliability of John and Luke's Gospels. Luke's account of the feeding of the 5,000 provides a detail that explains why Jesus asks Philip where they can buy some bread in John's account of the same event, and it's not designed. This sort of correlation is what 19th century Anglican priest J.J. Blunt called undesigned coincidences. Such coincidences occur when you have two texts that each contain pieces of information that fit together in a way that corroborate each other, without the authors having colluded to plant the information. The existence of such interlocking details in the Gospels suggests their veracity. They don't corroborate each other in ways that you would expect if the authors were colluding. They're not conspicuous verbatim agreements on the main facts suggesting a conspiracy, but rather random details that fit together in subtle ways that may not be immediately apparent. Now, there are many undesigned coincidences that have been identified, and you can check out a variety of different books that have been written on them. Our gospel reading for this upcoming Sunday gives us an opportunity to reflect at least on one of them. Now, there's another detail in our gospel reading that comes into play for another undesigned coincidence. It's John's remark about there being, quote-unquote, much grass within the context of John saying in verse 4, the time of the Passover was at hand. Mark provides us a detail in his account of this miracle that confirms the timing of the event, but again, seemingly without intention, like an undesigned coincidence here. In Mark 6:39, Mark states that the grass was green. John says there was much grass. Mark says the grass was green. Now, why would Mark include this detail if he were fabricating this story? You'd think he would include some other detail to establish the timing, like it's the time of the Passover. But he doesn't do this. The only explanation as to why Mark would include this green grass detail is because he witnessed it, and the greenness of the grass made an impression on him. Also, Mark wrote before John, so it's not like he's trying to intentionally confirm what John writes concerning the timing of the miracle. Now, the third detail in John's report that I want to focus on is the apostles, or the fact that the apostles picked up, quote, fragments from the 5 barley loaves, close quote. Notice, John doesn't say they picked up baskets of the multiple loaves that Jesus multiplied or created. Rather, they picked up fragments from the 5 loaves. To flesh this out a bit, Jesus didn't create a 6th loaf, a 7th loaf, an 8th loaf, etc. Rather, the thousands were fed with the 5 loaves. So rather than this miracle being the multiplication of loaves, the precise nature of the miracle is that he fed the thousands with the 5 loaves. It's more of a multiplication of the quantity of the loaves, right? So as Peter started to break pieces off of his loaf, the quantity of the bread remained the same, or at least enough for him to continue breaking pieces off to feed however many he fed. And of course, the same occurred for the other apostles handing out the remaining 4 loaves. As they broke off pieces off of their loaves, the quantity of their loaves would have also remained the same, or at least remained such that they could continue to break pieces off and feed however many they were feeding. What this reveals is God's power to preserve in being the accidental properties of bread, which, in this case, is quantity. As a Catholic, you can see where we're going with this, right? This event tees up Jesus' bread of life discourse, in which he first promises to give us the bread from heaven, which is his flesh, fulfilled at the Last Supper in the Eucharist. The lesson is that just as God can preserve in being the quantity of bread, he can preserve in being the quantity of the bread at the Last Supper, the look of the bread, the taste of the bread, and it not be bread. The miracle of the loaves is meant to prepare us for the revelation of the sacrament of the Eucharist. Well, my friends, that does it for this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word, short but sweet. The gospel for this upcoming 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B, provides us with some great details that are relevant for doing apologetics. We have details that lend themselves toward establishing the general trustworthiness of the gospels. Those two details that constitute what we call undesigned coincidences, and a detail that allows for us to reflect upon the miraculous nature of the Eucharist, of God preserving in being the accidental the sensible or accidental qualities of bread. In the case of the multiplication of the loaves, the quantity of bread. In the case of the Eucharist, the quantity of the consecrated hosts remains in being, even though it's not bread. And so we have some Eucharistic themes here. As always, my friends, I want to thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends about it. If you know of anybody who would be interested in listening and preparing for the upcoming Sunday Mass readings through an apologetics lens, please be sure to tell your friends about this podcast. Invite them to subscribe at SundayCatholicWord.com. You might also want to check out the other great podcasts in our Catholic Answers Podcast Network, Cy Kellett's Catholic Answers Focus, Trent Horn's The Council of Trent, Joe Heschmeyer's Shameless Popery, Jimmy Akin's The Daily Defense, all of which can be found at Catholic.com. And one last thing, if you want to get some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, you can go to shop.catholic.com. Friends, I hope you have a blessed 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B. Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.